Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's a month of prayer, and we are going to talk about prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So are you ready now? So I'm going to give you some time to put your phone on silent, bring out your Bible, bring out your notes, get your heart ready. If you're hungry, channel it for the Word. No thinking about food. Forget about who is owing you money. Praise the Lord. You know, I always tell you guys how that the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12 that Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was rebuking the Pharisees and the Sadducees because in Luke chapter 11, they had criticized him for eating without washing his hands. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he was talking something so important. Do you understand? He was serious and talking about, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, how that disciples should not fear men. Important stuff. And in the middle of the discussion, someone raised up his hand and said, "Master, tell my brother to share my inheritance with me." There was no relationship between what God was saying and the question or the request he was making. So what does that tell you? What Jesus was teaching was not in his mind. He was distracted. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then Jesus said, "Man, who made me a judge between you and your brother?" In other words, what's my business? It doesn't concern me. Praise the Lord. So you see, there are some things to think about that are not necessary while you're in the house of God. So while you are here, pay attention. Don't be distracted. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if you pay attention, you would understand what is being taught. So are you ready now? Now, when it comes to prayer, you must use the Word of God. So you know how to pray correctly. You know some things that you should pray about and those things that you should not pray about. For example, you don't pray that God should destroy your enemies. Are you in this place? Someone said, "I want to pray like David." I like David. Do you like David? But our best example is Jesus. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
And on that cross, he prayed for his enemies, but he was asking God to forgive them. If God destroys your enemy, it won't do anything to you. Remember, because someone has been destroyed doesn't mean you have been elevated. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So that's something you should not pray about. It doesn't matter how many people are praying it. Do you understand? God's desire is that all men should be what? Saved. And then the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that means that people with flesh and blood are not your problem. Do you understand? The woman in the village is not your problem. She's been influenced by wicked spirits. And there's a way to deal with that. So when you look at the Word of God, you know the things that you should pray about and those that you should not pray about. There's some things that God has already given to you. You don't need to ask for. Do you understand? There's some things that all you need to do is just give thanks. And that's important. And so the Word of God is very vital, all right, in your praying. So you don't spend all your time praying for something that you don't need to pray about. For example, are you in this place? A long time ago, there's something they used to call tarrying prayer for sinners. Now, when you read some books, you see that. And what that meant was, if you were a sinner and wanted to be saved, you had to pray. You had to tarry in prayer. Some people prayed for days. You know what I'm talking about? Some hours, 6 hours, tarrying in prayer, crying that God would save them until they felt something. Then they were born again. Are you in this place? Long process, unnecessary. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life, you are what? Saved. You might not feel like it. And that's why he did not include feeling in the process. Someone says you have a sense of salvation. You might not have any sense of it. We walk by faith, not by sensory what? Perceptions. Are you in this place? So you don't pray to be saved. That's my point. When you study the word of God, you know the things that you should pray about, the things you should pray for, and the things that you should not pray for. Like salvation, you don't pray for it, you receive it. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right, so the word of God is important. Now, there are different types of prayers. I said that last week. But today, I want to talk about one that is so popular, prayer of requests. In fact, we call it prayer requests. Do you understand? So when you pray to God, it means you need something. Okay? In fact, even Thanksgiving has been changed. They say, thank God for what you need, and then he'll give it to you. So it is thank request. Praise the Lord. Because people need a lot of things. And so, prayer request. But I want to look at it in a different angle. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you sure?
Yes, Pastor.
I like the way the mic sounds today. So nice. All right. A different angle. So get this. Say patience.
Now,
some people are not talking. Say
patience.
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 Say waiting.
Waiting.
How many people like to wait? You like to wait for what you want. Can I see your hand? Wow. Okay, you like to wait. There are some things you would want to wait. If you gave someone a pack of noodles to prepare, and then they put it in water, and after 1 minute they brought it out. This is not noodles. Something is up here. All right? But most times, nobody likes to wait. In fact, with improvement in technology, everything is now fast. At times, I remember that some few years ago, we had 2G, and that was really fast. Now, if you see 2G on your phone, you think there's a problem. Do you understand? Even 3G is not good enough. It must be 4G. Do you understand? So we like things fast. I remember then, when I was 100 level, this seems so close. And we have to go to the cafe, the cyber cafe, do you understand, to download stuffs. How many of you remember that experience? Some people did not go to cyber. Come on, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Do you know cyber cafe?
Yes, Pastor.
Did you go there?
Yes, Pastor.
And you have to pay how much for 1 hour? 100 naira for 1 hour. Think about it. Something that you can do with your phone right now. And then you have to watch. Well, if you're downloading something, small. At times your 100 naira would expire. You have to buy again. But now, nobody wants that. So my point is, the way the world is fashioned, you're learning how not to wait, how to get what you want immediately. But you see, patience is important. And I know that because it is a fruit of the Spirit. Meaning that when you got born again, one thing God thought you needed as a Christian was what? Patience. Go to Galatians 5. So let's start. Galatians 5, verse 22. Patience. Look, in your life, you just have to agree that at times you just have to be patient. 5, verse 22. Let's look at the TV together. But if you cannot see it, you can look at your Bible. 5 verse 22. I read it. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And that can be what? Patience. Not suffering for long. Okay? Sometimes I've been suffering for a very long time. Is the fruit of the Spirit at work in my life? No. It means patience. Praise the Lord. The only suffering you're allowed to suffer is persecution. Some people don't like to hear that. People who don't like to hear people that are suffering. All right? If you're not suffering, you don't want to ever suffer. So it says long suffering, gentleness. So you're gentle. Are you in this place? Someone says we are rough. We are gentle. All right? Gentleness, goodness. You have some folks who say I'm not a good person, no. Because I'm helping you doesn't mean I'm good, though. If you're a Christian, you should not talk that way. It says goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith, verse 23. Meekness, temperance, that's another word that you can liken to what? Patience. Self-control. He says, against such there is no law. So nobody will put you in prison for being patient. Do you understand? Nobody will arrest you for being patient. All right. So God thinks patience is important. And there are some things you just have to wait. I've told you guys, if a woman is pregnant, she has to wait for how long? 9 months. She doesn't go and meet the doctor. Doctor, It's 3 months now. Where is my baby? The doctor should recommend some other things. Do you understand? You should wait. Important things at times take time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So he said, patience. Say the word. Say patience.
Patience.
Patience. Patience. All right. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Are you in this place? Verse 5. Now this is just intro. Okay, we're going somewhere. We're going to learn about prayer. Verse 5. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. Now remember something. To get born again required faith. When you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, were you there? Are you in this place? Share your paying attention to me, right? Okay. When you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you were not there. The person who told you that was not there. But you believed. It took faith. And the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. And that's why I tell people, just preach the word. Because the word of God has in it the faith required to be born again. If you think too much about the gospel, it doesn't make any sense. At times you just think, how do you go and tell someone that God raised Jesus from the dead for his sake? It doesn't make any sense. But you see, with that word comes the faith necessary to receive it. And so everybody who's born again has faith. That's the point. Now he says, add to that faith what? Virtue. Excellence. And to virtue what? Knowledge. Verse 6. So you've gotten faith. You're born again. But there's something you need to add. Verse 6, it says, and to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance what?
Patience.
Add patience. And to patience, godliness. He said, add patience. Be patient. Listen, all of this is just telling you that patience is inside of you. Do you understand? Get it? It's a fruit of the Spirit. That means you are already patient. Do you understand? Some of you can wait for a while. But you see, you have to improve on it. Praise the Lord. You have to improve on it. It's like the guy who is going to the gym to exercise. And then when he's done with his exercise, he develops abs. Have you seen abs before? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have you seen abs before?
Yes,
and you have seen muscles before?
Yes, Pastor.
Everybody has abs and muscles. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Some people's own are covered, but it's there. All right? So the point is, when they go to the gym to exercise, nobody comes and plaster muscle on their hand. It's there. But the exercise brings it out. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
everybody has big stomach. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's true. But for some people, it takes food to bring it out. Do you understand? For some others, they have to get pregnant and then it comes out. So the point is, you can have something inside of you, but you need something extra for it to show. And so everybody has patience. But you see, you have to practice being patient and then you master it. Go to James chapter 1. James 1. Some of you already know where I'm going to. Who knows the verse? James 1. Huh? 3? 2. James 1 verse 2. Let's start from there. But you're correct. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because only people that are alive face challenges. Do you understand?
Yes,
a sign that you are alive is that you face what?
Challenges.
Only dead people don't face challenges. It's those that are alive that face challenges. So some people go to bury someone and then they ask for each child should bring 1 million naira. The guy who is there doesn't care. Do you understand? It's those that are alive that are facing it. All right, so it says, count it all joy. But that's not the primary reason. I'm just adding that. It says, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptation. God is really strange, isn't he? Is he strange? He's saying, when you are tempted, be happy. That's weird. Because nobody likes challenges. Verse 3. He tells you a reason. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what?
Patience.
That's why it's a challenge. Because you have to be patient. Are you seeing that? That's why it's a challenge. It says they try. Let me give you an example. If you're working in a company, you're supposed to be paid monthly. Okay? So in the middle of the month, you don't think you're facing challenges because you've not received your salary. Are you in this place? You don't think the company is facing challenges because you've not received your salary in the beginning of the month or the middle of the month. But if after 3 months you have not received your salary, then you think there's a challenge. Why? Because now you have to wait longer. But you were waiting every day of the month for that salary. And so he's saying that, listen, when you fall into temptations, be happy. Why? Because something is happening inside of you. He says the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. It's making you patient. Verse 4. He says, but let patience have a what? Perfect work. That ye may be what? Perfect. And what? Entire. Wanting what? I like it. So it's possible to live your life wanting nothing. That means there's nothing that you want. Why? Because you're patient. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
you're patient. If you don't have it right now, you know it's not the right time. Do you understand that? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
A woman who is pregnant doesn't think she wants a child. Do you understand? The baby is already there. It's just not time for it to manifest. And so she's patient. So he said, listen, if you master patience, you would not need anything. Because you'd understand times and seasons. Do you understand? You know this is not the right time. So there are things you will not need. And so patience is important. Now, he's saying faith works patience. And in prayer, patience is important. Especially when you're making requests. There are people who have prayed about something for so long, they've stopped praying. If now we say pray about your family, no more passion. But you see, patience is important. So let's go to the topic for today. Luke 18. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say,
I'm full of faith.
I'm full of faith.
Say, I'm full of joy.
I'm full of joy.
Say, I'm full of glory.
I'm full of glory.
All right. Is that true?
Yes.
All right. Verse 18. Let's look at it together. I'll read it. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. So he's going to tell us the reason why he told them the parable. Do you understand? There's a purpose for it. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Look at the wording. He said that men ought always to pray. Who's talking? Jesus. This is God himself. He said if there's something that a man should do, is pray. And not to what? Faint. The word faint doesn't mean what you think now, pass out. No. It means not to grow tired. Not to grow weary. Not to give up. That's what he's saying. He says men ought always to pray. Do you have a challenge? He says, listen, you ought to pray. And not to stop. That statement, I've been praying for a very long time, nothing is happening, should not be in your vocabulary. He says men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint, not to quit. Don't stop praying. That's what he's saying. Don't stop. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. He says don't stop praying. Like I said, there are times you've prayed about something for so long, now you're tired. You don't even like it being mentioned. You want to quit. But you see, that's why he told us about the story in the book of Acts, chapter 12. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
I'll tell you the story. Herod had captured James, the brother of John, and beheaded him. All right?
Yes,
killed him. And when he saw that he made the Jews happy, he took Peter also. All right? Remember, the Jews did not like Christians. Okay? They didn't like Jesus. And so Herod, in order to solidify his kingdom, killed James. He became popular, and so he took Peter. It's like, let me give you an example, like social media. If you post something, all right, an inspirational quote, and you sleep, you post it at night, you sleep, you wake up in the morning, and you see 10,000 likes. Are you in this place? 50,000 retweets. You know what? You're going to be posting a lot of inspirational quotes. Because once people like what you're doing, you think you want to continue. Praise the Lord. All right. So the same thing with Peter. So Herod took Peter. Okay? And his plan was to kill him on Easter. All right? That was the plan. And so he kept him in prison. And the Bible says, when he first took James, Peter was not in prison. Peter didn't organize a prayer meeting. They thought James would escape. Do you understand? They didn't think James would die. Do you know who James was? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't mean James, your classmate. I mean James, the one that walked with Jesus. The one who was closer to Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. The one who was with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. The one who saw Jesus raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. You know, there were three that always entered with Jesus. James was one of them. Now, they saw Jesus resurrect. And James was the innermost party of Jesus. So, if they even killed James, they were expecting James to do what? Resurrect. Imagine their shock when James actually died and did not come back. And then Herod took who? Peter. If he took Peter, who do you think would have been next? John. And they said, no way. Go to Acts 12 verse 5. Acts 12 verse 5. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, verse 5. He says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. So Herod arrested Peter. And his plan was to kill him. All right? Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer, this was the difference. Do you understand? But prayer was made what? That means they had a prayer chain without season of the church unto God for him. Remember, Herod did not kill Peter immediately, he took him. He kept him for some days. All right? And prayer was made without season of the church unto God for Peter. So every second someone was praying for Peter. And they organized themselves in groups. Because when Peter was released, he went to one of those groups. Do you understand? So they were praying for Peter. I wonder what, you know, the prayer request would have been very simple. Herod would not succeed. But think about it, they were praying it ceaselessly to God. Verse 6. You know, I said God is very interesting, all right? Because you think the first day they prayed, Herod should have received a visitation from an angel and released Peter. But nothing happened the first day they prayed. Verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, that means, look at it, it says the same night. That means the night before Herod was going to kill Peter, that was when something happened. Meaning that all the days they were praying, nothing happened. But men ought always to pray and not to what? Not to give up. Ceaselessly. No, for some people, you prayed for 30 minutes about that problem and now you're complaining. And you come and start telling us, but you pray to God. They were praying ceaselessly. Every day, every night, every day. When Peter was released, they were still praying. And listen, their prayer was not resultless because he linked their prayer to Peter's what? Salvation. But the point is, look at when God decided to manifest himself. The night before Peter was to be killed. I will explain to you. Jesus talked about this. I'll talk to you about it later. But the night Peter was supposed to be killed, the night before the day, that was when God showed up. Because at times, you think your timing is the best timing. Do you understand? You're praying and you need it now. So you want to force God. God cannot be pressured. Are you in this place? By your own pressures. He waited till the night before. And you know how Peter was released? An astounding miracle. At times, you have to realize that God waits to the deadline. Are you in this place? Someone says you have to pay that rent December 12th. By December 10th, someone has given up. God waits. I'm thinking about Moses. And Pharaoh finally decided to let the people go. And while they were going, God never told Moses, Moses, there's a sea you'll soon reach. And Pharaoh would come to try to kill you. But when you get there, this is what you should do. God never told him. Are you in this place? He said nothing until they got to the sea and the army of Egypt was coming. God kept quiet. Was he sleeping? No. He had a plan. But he would not be pressured by man's pressures. He wouldn't be. So then you think, why can't he come before the deadline? And you know he thinks he's very fast. I've told you guys before. I thought you think, why is God slow? No, he thinks he's the fastest. I'm going to show you in the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, so he told us this to tell you that, listen, when you pray, you have to persevere. It might not happen immediately at times. Not because of faithlessness. Because some things take time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go back to Luke 18. But I've shared this story with you guys before. How that, for some of you, if God came to you right now, let's say you just got 20,000 naira. Are you in this place? Pay attention to me. He wants 20,000 naira and he asked for it. Okay? And he just got 20,000 naira. Now God is going to help you with men. And now God tells him, beings, send all the money. Not one left, all of them to PK. On a normal day, for some of you, God has told you that and you did not agree. You divided it into two. Are you in this place?
Yes,
so now, this guy is praying and hoping for a miracle. And God has told this one and this guy said, no, Lord, it cannot be. I should be the one asking him for money, not the other way. And then God tells this lady and she says, get thee behind me, Satan. You spirit of waste. You want me to waste my money? So you see, it's not like God is not answering, but there's a delay. Are you seeing that? There's a delay. Not from God, but from others. Until he finally meets me. Praise the Lord. And then I send it, and PK has his answer. But while the battle is moving from this person to this person, imagine if at that point PK said, I don't even need it again. God is taking time. What will happen? And then he'll come and start telling us, but I prayed about it, nothing happened. No, something happened. Are you in this place?
Yes,
yeah, so you have to learn to be patient. All right, 18 verse 1 again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. Don't give up. Say, I don't give up.
I don't give up.
I don't give in.
I don't give in.
Verse 2. So he's going to share the parable. Do you understand? I want you to pay attention to this. Are you following me?
Yes,
saying, please pay attention. Please. Okay? Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So this was an unbeliever. He didn't fear God. All right? And he doesn't regard man, so he doesn't care. He's a judge. Verse 3. And there was a widow in that city. Do you know where a widow is? A widow has nobody. That's the general idea. So this is a man who doesn't fear God, doesn't regard man. And now you have a widow who has nobody, all right, in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. That means punish the man that did me something wrong. Verse 4. And he would not for a while. Meaning he didn't answer her. He didn't care. But after what he said within himself, though I fear not God, so I'm not doing this for God. Do you understand? Because you have some people that are very wicked and they say, if not for God, I will not help you. This one says, I'm not doing this for God. All right? Do I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow does what? And there are some mothers like that. When they want something for their children, they know how to trouble. Are you in this place?
Yes,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Maybe there's a long queue of students, but one student came with his mom. You know how it will happen. While we are, not Misha, while the queue is right there, you just see the mother go like this. Then she'll call her son like this. Then they will come out like this, and that's the end. So look at this. He said, yeah, because this widow troubled me. So what was the substance that got her the result? Consistency. She was perseverant. Even though the man said no, he didn't answer her. And everybody knew this man did not respect God. That means a wicked man. But she continued. He says, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her. Lest by her continual coming, she what? I like that. He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you don't faint, the challenge will eventually faint. Are you seeing that? He says, lest by her continual coming, she what? Weary me. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. This is Jesus talking. He said, listen to that man that is unjust. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect? So he's saying, can you compare God to that unjust man? If the unjust man said, because this widow continued without stopping, and she got her answer, he's saying, how much more God? But there's a twist. Look at this. He says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? You would think when he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, he's trying to say, they don't even need to cry. Are you in this place? Because remember, he's comparing God with the unjust judge. For the widow, she came often. The man changed his mind. Now God is saying, how about God? Jesus is saying, how about God? So you think that Jesus would say that his elect will just pray once and they'll get the answer. But that is not the lesson he's trying to pass across. He's trying to pass across a lesson on what? Perseverance. Verse 7. He says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Read the last part. Want to go? So look at that. He will be along with them. Meaning they would have to wait. Verse 7 and verse 8 is such a marvel. Verse 8. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them what? Does that make any sense to you? He says he will be along with them. Meaning they will wait. But in God's mind, he's avenging them speedily. I told you, God thinks he's very fast. You might be waiting. So in their own time, he's bearing long with them. But in his own time, he's avenging them what? Speedily. With speed. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What does he mean by this? He's not talking about the faith where you speak and maybe you get it. No, he's saying, shall he find faith? Would they quit? That's what he's trying to say. Do you understand? Would they stop praying? Because that was the purpose of the whole parable. That men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. So he said, when the Son of Man comes, would he still find people praying? Or would they stop because they didn't get their answer in a day? He said, listen, even if it seems as though God is bearing long with you, he's actually answering you speedily. Yeah. It is on time. Are you in this place? He's fast. He's fast about your request. Some things will take time. In your own measurement. Do you understand? With your own parameter. It might be taking time. But to God, he answered you immediately. He did. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So how about this verse? Go to Mark 11. Because then you begin to ask, where is the place of faith? And persevering. If I want a job, do I keep saying, God, give me a job? Every time I pray, God, give me a job. God, give me a job. God, give me a job. Where's the place of prayer and faith? Mark 11, verse 23. Are you learning something?
Yes,
and you're listening to me?
Yes,
verse 23. It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he would say. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall what? So that seems really fast, doesn't it? When you pray, believe that you receive, and then you have.
Okay. Mark 11, verse 24. He says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall what?
Have them.
So this gives you the idea of immediately you pray, you're going to get it. But there's a time factor. All right? There's a time factor. So while you're waiting, what sort of praying should you be praying? Why? What do you do? For example, like I said, if you want a job, is it that for a whole year you'll be praying, God, give me a job, God, give me a job? Let me tell you why prayer is important, and we're going to learn from the life of Jesus. All right?
Yes,
Pastor. Persevering in prayer. What happens when you persevere as you pray is that you remain positioned in God's will for your life as you pray. There are times when you're praying or you're asking for something and it's not according to God's will for your life. Now, when you pray the first time, all right, and let's say it doesn't come to fruition, then you go back and pray. Remember, you're praying, you're speaking in tongues, you're aligning yourself with the will of God. Very soon, the desire for that thing would go away. Are you in this place? All of a sudden, you don't want that thing anymore. In fact, now you have a better idea. What happened? While you were praying, you were positioning yourself in the will of God. Praise the Lord. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Okay, you know what? No, stay here. Verse 25. Mark 11, 25. Let me just say this in passing because we talked about it last week. 25. Mark 11, verse 25. Is this thing? Mark 11, verse 25. Can I have it? Okay, 25. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive. So this one is important. Okay? Forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your what? Trespasses. So he's saying, not just faith, you should learn to do what? Forgive. And remember, we learned that if you don't forgive, you're giving Satan the advantage over you. Praise the Lord. All right, Matthew 26. At times you pray until you have a witness in your spirit that you have won. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You pray until you have the peace of God in your heart. Then you know it is settled. At times you pray on Monday, you do not have that victory yet. You pause. Maybe you have things to do. On Tuesday, you continue. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
But you don't quit. You don't stop. Matthew 26, go to 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. So let's learn from Jesus now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I love Jesus so much. That's because with his life is the standard. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There is no argument. Do you understand? Look at this. 36. Now, remember, he had said before now, this is Matthew, you can go to Luke 22, but he had said before now that men ought always to pray and not what? To faint, not to give up. And what he's saying is that you should what? Persevere. Persevere. 36. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Do you remember this place? What happened in this place? Huh? Some people are not saying it. Some people are chewing out. What happened in Gethsemane? Many things happen in Gethsemane. Okay, so we all agree with that, right? Was that where he was crucified? Praise the Lord. All right, so he prayed in the garden, and that was where he was arrested. Okay, and then PK has been saying since here that he prayed until blood came out, so I should put that. Verse 36. Then come back. Now, you know that is interesting? He prayed until his sweat became like drops of blood. Do you know who Jesus is? He is the Son of God. And when it came to prayer, he was not careful. Are you in this place? Now you have some folks that they don't pray until there is AC. And they pray with style. They are the ones who look at everybody praying. See, see that one is praying. He's shaking his head. They Father, oh, hallelujah. That's nice. But if you're a disciple of Jesus, at least once, you must pray some strong praying. Do you understand? Because it's serious. Serious situations call for serious actions. Are you in this place? Elijah, there's this message, a way to pray. Elijah was praying for rain. This is a serious situation. Some of you just stand, it's about to rain. Rain, stop in Jesus' name. That's what Elijah did. And God thought his example was good enough for you. He said Elijah was a man of like passions. And he prayed earnestly that it should not rain. How did he pray? Do you know how Elijah prayed?
Yes.
He put his head between his knees. Do you know that kind of prayer? That is leave me alone prayer. If you went to call someone and you saw the person's head between the knees going, what did you say? Leave him alone. This is serious. Now Jesus comes. Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. And he's praying and he was sweating. Sweating. That prayer must have been serious. And the Bible says his sweat became like what? Drops of blood. And he didn't care who was looking at him. So if you're serious about what you're praying, you wouldn't care who's looking at you. When people dance in church, they say, I don't know. You're too conscious of yourself. Stop that. All right? You're not in church for any other person. Some people say, I don't want to pay too much. They don't want to look so serious while the minister is, you know, preaching. What a strange attitude. Look serious. You're in the house of God. Are you in this place?
Yes,
do you know seriousness got a man his healing?
Yes.
Have you seen that in your Bible before?
Yes,
Paul was preaching the gospel of salvation. He didn't plan to heal anybody. But the way one man was looking at him. Oh boy. Just a look. Got that man his miracle. He said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. I know he had been listening. So he had enough faith. Immediately Paul said, get up. He got up. It was his time. And so you're here for yourself. When we say pray, you're praying for yourself. Are you in this place? When it's time to worship, at times I come and look. Some people are worshiping as though they are killing fly. Very slow worship. No. Enjoy every moment. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Special thanks to PK for that detour. Verse 36, it says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray what? So he did not trust those ones to pray. Verse 37, I think if you went to pray with Jesus, he told you to sit down. You should be a bit concerned, right? All right. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of who? Zebedee. So he told the eight, sit here. He took three of them and they went yonder. Okay. And began to be sorrowful and what? Very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto what? Death. Meaning he knew he was about to die. He says, tarry ye here and what? Watch. You see this watch? He didn't mean they should be looking. It meant watch, like what we call watch night prayer. Do you understand? It meant watch. That means pray with me. Okay? Verse 39. And he went a little further. Now remember, they were separate from the others. But now he went just a bit further and fell on his face. Do you know who they're talking about here?
Jesus.
Master of the universe. He fell on his face and prayed. So no guy, man. Do you understand? And fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So this was the first time he wasn't very sure. Do you understand? This was a prayer of request. He was making a request. He said, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Separation from God. He didn't want that. He says, nevertheless, not as I will. I like this. There are people that want to marry a girl and they claim her in the presence of God. Do you understand? And vice versa. Chinyere is my wife. Thank you, Father, for giving her to me. Not if it be possible. And they don't even add over the left, not as I will. No.
Same words. So that's 3 hours.
persevered for what? 3 hours till he was ready. He said men ought always to pray and not to what? To faint. And that was an example. 3 hours praying, made a request, began setting up the will of God, and he continued that way. Now he says, when you're making requests, and I say this is the direction I'm going to, when you're making prayer requests, be patient, but don't stop. And he says, don't stop praying. Don't. He said, prayer was made by the church without ceasing. So God noted that it was their continuous prayer that affected the results. We have to keep praying. You don't stop. He says it is necessary for you to always pray. So what can I say? He said men ought always, not women. No, but the example he gave was a woman troubling a church. So everybody should always pray. That is his expectation for you. He said pray always and not give up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So after you ask for that job and you have received that job, while you are waiting, do you understand? You are praying. You are thanking God. Are you in this place? You are thanking God because all things are working together for your good. But you don't stop. You don't say, I've been thanking for a very long time now, but the job is not coming. I want to change prayer points. No. You remain there. He said, woman troubled the judge until the judge said, you know what? This woman will just make me weary. But then he told us something. Go back to that Luke 18 and I'll stop here. He told us something. He's saying, God, at times, to you, are you in this place?
Yes,
might seem like he's delaying. He's saying it will happen. Verse 5. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? He didn't say, and God will not bear long with you. That's not what he said. That was not a promise. He said he would bear long. The Bible says, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
Faith and patience. So they go hand in hand. While you're patient, you still have faith that something is happening. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
While you're patient, you still have faith. But just don't give up. Don't change your expectation. Praise the Lord. Don't. If God is not deaf and he heard you the first time, then you can be sure something is happening about that situation. Listen, the Bible says those are the jobs of angels. They are sent forth to minister for you. So immediately you pray. The Bible says Daniel, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I've ended. Daniel prayed to God, but was delayed 21 days. Have you seen that in your Bible before?
Yes.
When the angel finally came, Daniel had to add a fast because he had not gotten a response. When the angel finally came, he said, Daniel, O man greatly beloved. He said, from the first day you made your request, he said, a word came forth, because God ministers to the angels or sends the angels on errand through his word. He says, a word came forth. Immediately the angel got the alert, go and answer Daniel. And then he said, the prince of Persia arrested him. Meaning the angel was going to deliver God's message to Daniel, and he was arrested by another spirit and waited for 21 days. 21 days. But Daniel was smart. He kept praying. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
He kept praying. 21 days. Meanwhile, God had sent the answer the first day. And so when you're making requests, I don't know the requests you make. Maybe at times family issues that have been lasting for so long. You prayed once, you gave up. You know what? Pray again. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All of God's resources. Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yes.
Meaning that everything that's available in the kingdom, it pleases him to make it all available to you. So whatever resource you require for the answer that you need, God is pleased to make it available to you.
So he's not answering you. And what you think is a delay, to him it is not. Something is happening. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Something is happening. Just wait, but keep praying. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm patient.
I'm patient.
Say, I persevere.
I persevere.
I persevere in prayer.
Persevere.
Now, while you're sitting, I want us to pray. Well, we're praying for ourselves. And when I say ourselves, that also includes your family. But I want you to think. Maybe there's something you want. Now, we are together as a church, and so we're going to pray. Maybe there's something you want, or you've been asking God for, concerning your family, and you have stopped. The word of God doesn't come void. Today, I want you to pray. You're going to say, Father, thank you because you heard me the first time. But I emphasize today,